All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, happy to be speaking with an individual who has a big fight coming up going down on June the 5th, UFC Fight Night heavyweight collision between Tanner Bowser and Ilir Latifi, and I have Tanner on the show again. How's your day going so far there, man?
Just starting. I usually sleep till about 10:30, so this is morning for me. Day's going fine.
Yeah, well, hopefully the rest of your day goes better. You know, hopefully I can start it off on a good note there, though.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but it, kind of an interesting timeline leading into this one, because I'd initially seen an interview where you were offered a fight with Alexander Gustafsson in May, or it was loosely discussed, like nothing really that official. So how are you feeling with this Ilir Latifi fight solidified? Was it just a matter of kind of getting that next opponent locked in after the last bout?
I think you kind of cut out there, but I think you asked about the Gustafsson fight. I got offered that, and it would have happened in June, which we did say yes to, and he ended up saying that he's going back to 205. So then shortly afterwards, we got offered with Latifi. So yeah, now that's the fight. It was just a matter of them telling me who I'm fighting. I'm not a guy who's picky.
Yeah, you strike me as a guy who's game and ready for whatever there, but just, you know, with the backdrop of the last fight there, it seemed like you were kind of disappointed by the whole thing, even though close fight, all things considered. Now that you're a bit removed from that Arlovsky fight, what are your thoughts on how that bout went down there?
That I didn't do enough. It was close, yeah. Could have went either way. But that's my own fault for letting it be close. I mean, these things happen. You know, sometimes fights are close, but I should have done more. And yeah, I'm still disappointed, but it is what it is. And now I have to win this one.
Yeah, and I know you guys are perpetually working there at Shaved Bears and stuff like that. Like, it really never stops for sure. Like, but it just seems like a great vibe in general with Christian Larson getting ready for that big fight with Kyle Machado for BFL and everything like that. So how has the vibe been over at Shaved Bears lately? I imagine pretty exemplary.
The vibe is good at the gym, but it's intermittent because we're not always allowed at the gym. There's you know, the COVID restrictions change it all the time, and when we're not allowed there, like right now, not allowed to train, it is what it is. We do the best we can, all things considered, with what we're allowed to do all the time. But yeah, when we're allowed there, me and Chris have fights coming up, and you know, we're training's good.
Yeah, well, that's a bit of a bummer to hear, because I imagine that not only affects, you know, yourself at Shaved Bears, but also with Little Sweatshop and things like that.
Yeah, it affects their entire business, right? The entire structure of the gym.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a bummer to hear. I'm hoping things can be amended in that regard and get back to some form of normalcy, because I think it's great for the community what, you know, they do with Little Sweatshop.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it can come back to normal, but people are so far behind now. They're thousands and thousands in debt. I'm not talking necessarily about, you know, Jeff and Shelly and Little Sweatshop, but these businesses the government says they're going to help. All they do is postpone their payments. Like, you know, they just put them to the end of the year or whatever, and they still have to pay it back. It's really fucking a lot of places over, and yeah, it's a whole lot of bullshit, and it is ruining a lot of people's jobs and lives. So yeah,
definitely fair, man. I understand where you're coming from, but just talking about the, I guess, localized help on a more positive note there, like, I noticed the campaign for Jacob there, just getting his story out there and donating and stuff like that. So can you talk about that a bit, like, if people wanted to help out with that, because I think that's great.
Jacob is a little boy in the, he's from Edmonton. You can go to the Jacob Little Fighter page on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, whatever, and there's always a GoFundMe there. He's born with a very rare, like, I think, like, an autoimmune disease. I'm not overly well versed in it, you know, stuff like those crazy medical conditions, but he's got basically no immune system. I think he has to stay at home. The syndrome, the non-scientific name is, like, bubble bubble boy syndrome or something, so he has to be in like a bubble all the time. Like he gets sick, there's nothing there to fight it. And
yeah, I love the idea of being able to use your platform to help certain people out. But I kind of wanted to ask this question just because it's more of a recent happening here, and I know you have the past training with Arjan Buller and everything like that. So did you happen to catch that victory he had for the one heavyweight title?
I did, yeah. He looked really good. That's a great win. You know, he's that's one FC. That's a it's a world championship. So that's a big win, and congrats to him. I think he looked great.
Yeah, no, I just thought to ask because, like I said, the training passed, but also going to be actually talking to him shortly after I speak with you there. That was kind of the tweet I had where I was saying I get to interview some of the best Canadian heavyweight MMA fighters.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so looking forward to that for sure, no doubt. But I got to talk about the trading card too, because you seem to really enjoy that. I mean, as you should. Like, I find a lot of lads that came up in our time kind of grew up with that trading card culture and stuff like that. So what was it like to have your image immortalized there with the Prism UFC series?
That was really cool. Yeah, when I found out about that, I was excited all day. I collected trading cards growing up, so that was really cool for me. You know, a lot of kids ask me and stuff if I'm in the video game, and I mean, I'm not. That would be cool, but it doesn't really matter to me as much. Trading card to me is way cooler. That's something that when I was a kid, I really, really enjoyed. So, being on one of the UFC cards is pretty cool.
Does that also tie into the Pokemon fascination a little bit? Like, you open the pack of cards and you see it there? Like, is the tactile fascination kind of part of it at all, you think?
Probably. I did collect Pokemon cards a lot when I was a kid, but I can't really open any of these packs. They're so expensive. To buy a hobby box of these cards is like over $1,000, and to buy a small box is like a couple $100 that comes with, I don't remember how many packs, but the packs only got like four dudes in it, like four cards, and maybe it comes with like six packs or something, and it's not worth trying to pull myself from one of those packs for a couple $100. So I will buy a couple of the cards of me on eBay. That'll be cool. But yes, although I would love to open up a pack and try and find a card of myself, it's not going to do it.
Yeah, maybe if you get that $8 to $10 million offer to fight the grizzly bear, you can facilitate getting the packs.
Yeah, then I'll think about it. Nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah, but I was, you know, checking out the post you had leading into this Latifi fight here and just talking about how it's a classic Canada versus Sweden kind of matchup here. I'm kind of curious your thoughts on this matchup. It seems like you view him as like a very strong wrestler, a guy that has a level of resilience and durability. Like, what are your thoughts on just what he brings to the table as a fighter?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. He's extremely strong. He's a wrestler, a good wrestler. And he does punch well. He punches, I think, better than people kind of give him credit for. If you make a mistake, he'll knock you out.
Oh yeah,
he can kick too. He's got good low kicks. So it's not an easy fight at all. A lot of people seem to think maybe it is because he's on a bit of a skid. But you look at the guys he lost to: Derek Lewis, Jan Blachowicz was one. Corey Anderson, like the Volkan. These are guys that are championship caliber fighters. You know, and him and Corey Anderson went to decision. Volkan knocked him out. Him and Derek Lewis went to decision, and that was close. So, yeah, it's going to be a very grueling fight, I believe, and I just got to be ready for it.
Yo, you just articulated it very well too. I think a lot of people forget how competitive that fight he had with Derek Lewis was, and this is a guy that could potentially be contending for the heavyweight title next. So, yeah, a favorable position to be in a high level matchup for sure.
Yeah.
But he's got some pretty majestic photos online too, the riding the, you know, horse shirtless on the beach kind of dynamic. Have you seen those? Like, what are your thoughts on the Ilir Latifi posted up like an Old Spice commercial photos?
Somebody showed me the one of him on a horse. Yeah, it's actually hilarious. legendary picture, man. If I saw that picture and I didn't know either guy, I'd absolutely be cheering for him.
I was wondering if that photo you had where you had the Squirrel King shirt going on, I was wondering if that was your version of the riding the horse kind of dynamic, because that was a pretty majestic photo too, you with the toy squirrel on the hat and everything.
Yeah, I mean, if that was my version of that, then I'm losing heart, because he's literally riding an actual horse shirtless on a beach. If I put on a shirt that said Squirrel King and tried to compete with that, yeah, it would be a losing battle for sure. But no, that's a whole other – Squirrel King thing is a whole other thing.
I was going to say, what creature do you think you would majestically be on the back of? Maybe like a shaved bear or maybe a danger cat, something like that?
Yeah, I guess we'll go with a shaved bear. I mean, it wouldn't really be majestic if you've ever seen a shaved bear. They're just hideous, disgusting creatures, but...
Yeah, it'd be pretty alarming for sure, but...
Very alarming.
But yeah, I got to ask about this too, because, you know, you got the, you know, athlete in the family dynamic going on, San Jose Sharks defenseman. I understand he had his first game a few weeks back there. So how has that been? I imagine that's a really cool sort of thing, a new team to more avidly follow, it seems.
Yeah, he's done well. He played for the first time there a few weeks ago. He got signed, you know, beginning of the season, and he's just now kind of starting to play. So he had another game last week. Maybe it was Monday. So yeah, he's been doing good. It's cool. He's my my first cousin, my mom's brother's son. So yeah, now I'm as well as cheering for the Oilers, because the city's happier when they're doing well. I'm also going to be cheering for the Sharks.
Yeah, that's fun, man, for sure. And I got to ask too, just on the behalf of James Lynch almost, because he's been pounding that drum for you to check out Trailer Park Boys for a while. Have you peeped any Sunnyvale Trailer Park happenings as of yet, or maybe not so much?
Man, like, how many seasons are there of that show? Like 30?
It's one of those.
I can't do it. I'm not doing it.
Well, there we go. We're putting the kibosh on it now, finally. But in terms of music, I know you like were jamming to the Last Killers album when we were talking last there. Yeah. But I'd also seen on your Instagram that Dean Brody was commenting on the Lush Mullet game there. So like, what are you jamming music wise lately? Like anything new in the rotation there for you?
I've been listening to like a lot of Stan Rogers, which isn't new, it's old stuff. In terms of new music, the Mountain Goats put out a new-ish album.
Oh, cool.
Maybe a year or a couple this year. One was like a live recording thing, and then the other one they put out about a year ago, I guess. So I've been liking that. I've listened to a lot of, you know, John Brooks and Coulter Wall. Nothing overly new. Coulter Wall had a new album come out last year. So yeah, I don't know. I'm all over the map. Right now, I guess there's not one particular new album I'm constantly listening to.
Yeah, I guess I meant new, just like localized to like what you were listening and stuff like that. But I mean, that's a great rundown of different projects you were checking out there, man. Like I quite enjoy Coulter Wall, and the Mountain Goats are awesome too. They put out a full concept album with like pro wrestling songs, and I was like, oh, this is wild.
That album's awesome. Really like it.
Could we ever see you come out to the legend of Chavo Guerrero for a fight, do you think?
No, because it makes no sense in terms of me fighting, but that is a great song. It's my favorite song on that album.
Yeah, true. You aren't part of the Guerrero family, so I guess it wouldn't make a great deal of sense.
No, it wouldn't make any sense.
But I always appreciate talking to you, even if my questions don't always make sense. But in being mindful of the rest of your schedule here, man, is there anything you'd maybe like to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here?
I guess just thanks to my sponsors, PPS, Paul Pedal Services, Premier Build Garages, Axe Monkeys, and Mealcraft. So thanks to all you guys, and my coaches are Jeff Montemiro and Cadro Noda.
Always appreciate getting to talk to you ahead of big fights, man, and really excited for this Ilir Latifi fight, and I'm sure other people are too. Great big heavyweight tilt going down on June 5th as part of UFC Fight Night, and just, yeah, thanks for coming on the show, man, and best of luck with the remaining part of the preparations, and have a great rest of your day, too.
Great, thanks. Take care, man.